Amen. Thank you, Quincy. At this time, we're going to have our first of three preachers. So, Mr. Adam, you come and open God's word for us, please.
Good evening. I'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. If you need a specific text, I don't really have one, so you can just put it all over if you take notes. I'll start off by telling you my title. My title is On Jesus' Heart. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to preach tonight. I thank you for allowing Sam and Joey to preach tonight as well. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. First thing I'd like you to see is that about Jesus' heart is that Jesus' heart hears. The first thing I would like you to see under that is that Jesus' heart hears through comfort. And 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God tells us here that any time we cry out to him, he will hear our cry. He will comfort us at any time, any moment, any time and we ask of him, cry out on to him, he will hear us automatically. Second thing I'd like you to see is that he hears us through prayer. Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And also in James chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." See that the prayer by faith, the prayer of faith, God will hear. God will hear our prayer through faith. He will always hear our prayers. There is never a time unless we have a sin in our lives that we have not taken care of that he will not listen to us. We must be willing to confess our sin to him before he hears our prayer. Second thing I'd like you to see under Jesus' heart is that Jesus' heart erases. First thing I'd like you to see is under that is when he died on the cross. Look, we can see this in Luke 23:34. The Bible says, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." We see here that Jesus, even though we nailed him to a cross, we beat him and bruised him and marred him so bad that nobody could recognize him, he still forgave us. He forgave us. That's really amazing. A second thing I'd like you to see is he erases when we sin. 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Jesus is told that Israel that he would forgive their sin if they would be humble enough and to just tell him to just ask for it and to admit that they were sinners. If you would look at both 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Likewise, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you look at both of these passages, we have to do one thing before God can do that, before God can forgive our sin. Before God can erase or forgive our sin, we must call on him. We must first confess our sin. We must first confess. We must first be humble and tell him that we want forgiveness. Then he will give us that forgiveness. We have the choice either to accept it or to reject it. The third thing I would like you to see is that Jesus' heart answers. Thing I'd like you to see under that is in a time of trouble. We'll see Luke 8:22-25. And it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying unto one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Yes, this was a test. He did use this as a test of the apostles' faith. But I'd like you to see that even when he was testing their faith, he didn't leave them to fend for themselves. He answered their cry when they cried out for him. He didn't leave them to do everything themselves, to try and figure it out for themselves. He did what he needed to do to be able to make sure that they trusted him. The next thing I'd like you to see is that Jesus' heart redeems. You see that the first thing I'd like you to see under this is that Jesus' heart redeems all. Mark 2:17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if that was not so, then none of us would be here right now. The next thing I'd like you to see is that he redeems anyone who chooses to be redeemed. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that the Bible doesn't say that God so loved one of us, so he came. It doesn't say that God so loved few. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The next thing I'd like you to see is that it's not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if it was of works, then there would not be any emphasis of God, Christ dying on the cross. Because everybody, once you got to heaven, would be saying, this is how I got there, and then somebody else would tell you how they got there, and maybe it's better or not, and then everybody's like, oh, I did better than this person or better than this person, or I didn't do so good. Just imagine if that was Paul. We wouldn't be able to meet his standard. But that's not what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to meet God's standard. The last point I'd like you to see is number 5. Jesus' heart is tender loving. With the first thing we'll see under this is that he was tender the lost sheep. In Luke 15, 3 through 7. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than and over 99 just persons which need no repentance." If you see there, if you look there, it's basically like the angels in heaven just throw a party when somebody gets saved. They are overjoyed. They are excited. Every one of them. Next, the Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. The last thing I'd like you to see is that his love paid it all. We can see back in Proverbs 10:12 that Solomon gave us some of his wisdom about this. He said that hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Jesus' blood paid for all sins. He didn't go because he hated us. He didn't want to reject us. He wanted to bring all of us to him. So he covered all our sins. His love covered all our sins. 1 Corinthians 13, in the last verse, I believe it's 13, it says that faith and hope, yes, they are great. Yes, you need them, but love is the greatest of all of them. Then also Hosea 14:4. It says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." He says in the middle that I will love them freely. His love was not forced on us. God our Father did not force Jesus to love us. Jesus, of his own free will, loved us himself freely. Because of that, he went to the cross. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to preach tonight. Please help the Sam and Joey as they preach, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.